I'm Kirk Harnack. On This Week in Radio Tech, it's Commotion, a social media platform just for broadcasters. On the show, Tom Ray and our guest, Ryan Burgoyne. On This Week in Radio Tech, next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is This Week in Radio Tech, episode 118, recorded February 29th, 2012. Distorted Monkeys. This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Telos Systems and the new VX Voice over IP Multi-Studio Talk Show System. On the web at telos-systems.com/VX. Hi there, it's time for This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack, your host. So glad that you are along. Well, chat room says I'm wired. We've got a great guest because he's going to be talking about very interesting service, a very interesting social thing for broadcasters and anybody that's producing content. And I think this is a terrific idea. Why do I think that? Well, I was thinking about this 2 years ago. And, you know, naturally, you kind of tend to like ideas that you think you had. But enough about me and my ideas. I never did anything with it. So we're going to talk to the people who actually can execute. Let's talk also with our co-host on the show, and that would be Tom Ray.
Ray.
From the Hudson Valley. Tom, you are the worst engineer, Tom. We got no mic from you. And distorted monkeys. Now, hey, do we have a show title already? Distorted Monkeys? Tom, I guess you're going to have to get your mic fixed. Still got nothing from you. Nothing. All right. Full screen Kirk, and I get to vamp while Tom fixes his mic audio. And Tom is an engineer, by the way. He really is. He's qualified, mostly. Our show is being brought to you, this episode, by my employer, and I thank them very much for sponsoring the show. It's Telos, telos-systems.com on the internet. And you want to go there and check out the latest things from Telos. There are some new things at telos-systems.com. We'll hit them in the commercial in just a little bit later on in the show. Right now, though, let's check in with our guest, whose mic I think is working. Our guest is from talking to us from Idaho. And I'll introduce him as Ryan Burgoyne. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Good. Doing really
and
good.
And your mic does work.
Mic works.
That's right. Hey, and it was very short notice for anybody who's watching or listening to the podcast and says, well, hey, Ryan's mic is a little distorted and sounds like it's far away. Look, Ryan agreed at the last minute to be on the show. He's got some really exciting things to talk about. So, hey, put up with the microphone being on the laptop. We'll have Ryan back another time sometime and give him a little bit more notice. Ryan, give me the 30-second elevator speech about who you work with and what you do, and then we'll dive into it more deeply in a few minutes.
Sure. Basically, I work for a company by the name of Commotion. Commotion was acquired back in October by Broadcast Electronics, the hardware company, right? Transmitters. And they ended up acquiring a company that I had started along with a couple of other founders called Local Media. And that's what we do right now. It's pretty fun.
All right. And I understand the company has a new name. And when I first heard about this, I first heard about what you're doing from a colleague of yours, a guy named Frank Massa. And Frank is a regular viewer, listener of this show. And Frank's in Thailand. He's the Asia Pacific sales rep for Broadcast Electronics. And, you know, represents your transmitters and other products over in that part of the world. So, hey, Frank, shout out to Frank. Thank you very much for suggesting we get Ryan on the show. Tell you what, we're waiting on Tom to get reconnected here, and I think he will be shortly. Let's jump right into more than the elevator speech about what you guys are doing. And I'll set this up by saying this. A couple of years ago, I kept looking at the success of Facebook And in Facebook, you have a lot of folks connecting and talking about shared experiences. Maybe they knew each other from high school. Maybe they know each other from work. You know, maybe they know each other from a bowling league or something. But typically, it's people who know each other maybe peripherally. Maybe they just met and they want to connect more on Facebook. And then you've got a little bit sort of the same thing with Twitter. You've got people who are sharing their thoughts on perhaps common experiences. When people used to, maybe they still do, gather around the water cooler at work and talk about, hey, did you see The Simpsons last night? Or did you see, you know, back some years ago, did you see All in the Family last night? Or did you see the NFL game last night, the Monday night football game? Yeah, it ran late. Oh, was your family at the ball game last night? I went into extra innings, you know, that kind of thing. So there are common experiences that people gather around and talk about. And Facebook and some other social sites have been the way to discuss about and share those things. Pinterest is a new up and coming one where people tend to do that. Even the chat room here at the Twit Network at irc.twit.tv, where people are talking in real time about what's going on the Twit Network. And I thought there ought to be some way for people to share their thoughts, experiences, shout outs, make requests about what's going on a radio station. Radio still has a huge audience. Radio still hits 90-something, 94, 95% of all U.S. residents every week. People still spend an average of, what, three and a half hours, per day or per week? Some amount of time with radio, and it hasn't gone down. It's remained fairly steady over the last few years, and it'd be interesting if there was some way for people to share, to talk about what's going on, you know, a meta channel about what's going on. So I thought, hey, wouldn't there be, and of course I'm thinking as a Telos employee, I'm thinking, hey, maybe Telos could make some gear that helps make that possible. And then somebody else does software applications to connect people with chat and requests and I don't know what else. So you guys have kind of got this figured out. And before I go and explain everything that you do wrongly, let me go ahead and have you explain it a bit more, Ryan. What do you think about what I was thinking about, and how does that relate to what you guys at Commotion do?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, I grew up in radio. So my dad owned and operated radio stations my entire life. And, you know, we saw the things that were going on. You know, the thing about Facebook and Twitter is radio has really gravitated towards those social networks because radio is social. You know, you get on the air, you talk about what's happening in the morning, what's happening in the community. It's live, it's real time, it's exciting. And that's why radio has really gravitated towards these. What we found and what he found with his stations was that we used to tell people, hey, you know, our listeners, hey, go, you know, talk to us also, send us a text or give us a call on the request line or go visit our website and chat with us. And what's happened now with social is they're like, well, just join us over on Facebook or join us over on Twitter. And the problem with those networks, although social networking is critical to stations today, it's all in how you use it. And so the tool that we've created essentially, or this idea, was to bring all communication endpoints to a single point that the radio station could control. They could have interaction with their listeners. And the concept or the hope was it didn't matter how the listener was connected. If they were on Facebook, if they were on Twitter, if they were on the website, or if they were on their mobile app, they could all join in this conversation. And then once you have that conversation, you can add photos, videos, voice, whatever you want to add, you can add to that live real-time conversation. And that's really the big difference is, you know, even on Facebook, it's not as real-time as radio is. Whereas, with this experience, it can be exactly as real time as what's happening on the air.
So if I could kind of conceptualize this, sure, Facebook is a lot about sharing. Any of these social sites are a lot about sharing, but they're not so much real time unless you're doing Facebook chat, which is, I don't know, I'm not big on real time chat. It's kind of like CB radio with typing. You know, that's and radio hits a huge mass audience. I mean, if I live here in Nashville, maybe I'm listening to the Phil Valentine show, a local talk show here in Nashville. So there may be, I may have friends who are also listening to Phil Valentine, and we may have, I may be thinking, you know, I really got a comment about what Phil said, but I don't want to call in. That's, you know, either nobody cares what I have to say, or I don't want to sit on hold for 32 minutes. It'd be interesting if I could pull up an app and see what other people are saying about what Phil said. And maybe then I would say, you know, I think I will go ahead and make my comment and make a comment. Then hopefully Phil Valentine's producer is paying attention to what's going on in that same chat and would, you know, perhaps prompt Phil or another caller or somebody to bring that subject up or to add that comment. Is that a little bit what Commotion is about?
Yeah, it's exactly what Commotion's about. It's bringing that all together. One of the challenges, for example, you mentioned Facebook. One of the challenges that you face with Facebook is even if I'm out there and I'm chatting away with my listeners on Facebook, only those listeners on Facebook are seeing what I'm doing or what we're talking about or what I'm, you know, talking about in the air. And then I'm going out to Facebook and kind of extending that conversation. But, you know, I have to do the same thing over on Twitter. I have to go do the same thing over on Google Plus. And of course we mentioned apps, you know, what about my apps? What about people that aren't on any of those networks, but have my app open or streaming the radio station or my website? You know, how do those guys join in this conversation? And so, you know, on air, it's easy because everyone's listening to the same stream, no matter where they're at in their car, maybe they're streaming online, they're listening to it. But when it comes to technology, to come to this online experience, that's where it's a challenge. And it's been interesting because we've seen what happens when a station has taken this concept, you know, of real-time communication across multiple mediums and devices. And they compare it to just the messages they get just on Facebook, for example. And we have a station that typically has about 50,000 listeners that are Facebook fans. They get about 1,500 comments on their Facebook page, whereas with this tool that we have, they're into the 40,000 a month messages compared to 1,500 messages and communications that are happening. And part of that has to do with the real time because it's listener to listener, it's listener to radio, the control, you know, studio.
I'm going to have a follow up question about that in a few minutes. Let's bring Tom Ray. Tom, are you back with us, buddy?
I should be, according to the. Okay. Skype, I have no idea what that was. I shut down the phone call. Microphone came back. I have no clue.
Strange. Oh, well, it's Skype. Things. So Tom, you are the director of engineering for a broadcast group, Buckley Broadcasting. You guys have several stations. Tell me what you guys are doing now for listener interaction that's not a phone call, but rather social media.
We're using Facebook and Twitter, and of course, you know, you're right. You have to go to Facebook. You have to go to Twitter. We're not really using text messaging right now, but they've tried that in the past. But we do find it valuable. I mean, there are certain things. Dr. Joy Brown, for example, is one that uses Facebook quite frequently on her show, and you know, it's one of those things where. Your example before, you're listening to the guy, you don't know if you want to make the comment. Well, this way, on her show, she talks a lot about relationship issues. And, yeah, you don't want to maybe get on the air and talk to a million of your closest friends. But you'll put it on the Facebook page, and she'll pick up on it, and she'll answer it. And she won't use your name, obviously. There's a lot of value to doing things like this.
That does seem better and a bit more anonymous than calling Dr. Joy Brown and saying, Dr. Brown, I have a friend who has a relationship problem right now.
And the friend is kind of like me, and I know an awful lot about it. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so your stations, and I take it you're speaking perhaps primarily about WOR, but you have some other stations as well, some music-oriented stations. And you're doing what a lot of other stations are doing, and that is you've got a Facebook page. You have a website, too, but the Facebook mm-hmm. page isn't the website, and the website isn't the Facebook page. So you've got these things that are going that are popular, but not they're not working necessarily to build upon each other. Right.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. In Hartford, you know, we've got a music station in Hartford, the FM's music. We've got a guy who does basically an for the most part, it's an all request Saturday night show. And it's basically anything goes from the 60s, 70s and 80s. He's got a very interesting concept. He brings a camcorder into the studio. He records part of the show on video, you know, edits it together and puts it up on YouTube every week. So, there are a lot of different ways you can use the different methods of media out there, or the different types of media. He gets people all the time sit there, and he's even though everything's on a computer system, he's running the board just like he would have on the days we had carts and we were throwing cart slots in, and he's punching things, and he puts on a show, and not just what you're listening to. So there are a lot of ways that we're starting to use the various types of media out there.
So now we have that set up, let me direct this question back to Ryan. Ryan, when a couple of years ago, when I was thinking about there ought to be something like this, and apparently you guys are doing it, it occurred to me, well, but how would I compete with Facebook? Facebook is, somebody's told me, it's the third largest country in the world is Facebook. There's a lot of folks on Facebook. Every friend of mine from high school, most every engineer in this business that I know personally is on Facebook. And I'm sorry for you, a few who maybe watch the show who aren't on Facebook, and I'm not your friend on Facebook. I guess what I'm saying is, how do you draw people away from that incredible draw and sometimes time suck of Facebook to participate in what at first may seem like a small-time affair, this small community of people all listening to the same station somewhere? I guess that kind of worried me. How do you get them to, hey, don't pay attention to Facebook over there. I know it's big. I know it's exciting, but come pay attention to what you're listening to over here.
That's a great question. And first of all, I should clarify, with the stations, the radio stations that we work with, we help them grow their Facebook and Twitter pages, you know, their fans and followers. And the reason we do is because we want to use Facebook. We want to use the social mediums, but we want to do it in the way that newspaper and television are doing it. You know, newspaper and television have really figured this out. And what they've done is they said, look, here is Facebook and here is Twitter. And this is a gigantic megaphone to let people know what's happening. They'll do little snippets of, hey, this is what we're doing tonight at 10, or this is what's happening right now. And so you don't want to shy away from those networks. You want to use them for the power that they are. And that power is to let people know always what you're doing right this very moment. And when you do that and you direct them back to your properties, like your website, your mobile apps, whatever that property is, all of a sudden now you've got real-time interaction. And that's really the key. It's about this real-time experience. And we just kind of, it's been funny because we would have never ever guessed that, for example, this little piece that we built would have had more communication coming through it than say what a station had on their Facebook page. But part of that is because now we're pulling from so many different places, and we're pulling now from apps, which mobile is huge, that literally the listeners will go on there, stream the station and join into the conversation. And all of a sudden that leads to other conversations. It's like a telephone call. You know, if I'm having a call, I'm going back and forth and talking, and the conversation carries. If I send an email, we'll say a little bit, someone will reply back, we'll say a little bit more. And that's the big difference. So we don't want to shy away from those social networks, but we want to use them to the benefit of radio and the benefit of their advertisers, because they can't advertise right now on Facebook or Twitter.
Ah, okay. All right. I'm getting a little bit better picture. Earlier, Ryan, you pointed me toward a video, and there's a couple videos on the commotion.com website. One of those videos is about 16 minutes long. We're not going to look at that one. But there's a much shorter video, about 4 minutes long, that explains the concept, and it gives a sales pitch at the same time. But what I'm more interested in our me, Tom, and our viewers and listeners in understanding what you guys are doing. And so sometimes a video is worth a million words. Burke, if you've got that queued up, if we can look at that video. This is from the commotion.com website. It explains how you get social media working better with your radio station. Go ahead when you're ready there, Burke.
From your branded properties, your listeners get pushed. Let me show you. Over the air, we send listeners to our website, but then our website sends them to Twitter. And now it gets really bad. Twitter actually sends them to our competitors. Ouch! In another example, we send listeners directly to Facebook.
You're listening to the Mighty Y100. Be sure to check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/Y100. We got more.
But what about your station's website? What about your brand? What about your advertisers? Introducing Commotion. The Commotion platform allows you to continue to use all your current social networks, but in doing so, brings your listeners and content back to your website and mobile app in your station's unique activity stream. In addition, now your listeners, whether on Facebook, Twitter, or IM, are all interacting with each other. Or listeners can simply interact directly on your website or mobile app without the need for a Facebook or Twitter account. But the best part of Commotion is that you can manage, moderate, and even monetize all of that communication through the Commotion Wall. Created just for radio, the Commotion Wall lists all incoming social communication in a single vertical timeline. The concept behind the wall is that it should be transparent to the operator where the communication originates. The system tracks this for you. When you reply to a Facebook post from within the wall, the response goes back via Facebook automatically. But it also gets shared on your station's website and mobile app as a part of your station's activity stream. Now let's look closer at some of the features of the wall. One of the most beneficial features of the wall is history tracking. Commotion logs all communications and makes the communication history from each listener easily available every time they send a new message. So you can not only thank them for the request they made today, but ask them how the concert was they won tickets to 3 months back. In addition to history, you have full control over what gets published to the activity stream and what does not, along with the ability to block troublesome users.
That's important.
Along with Facebook, Twitter, SMS, and IM, Commotion also supports voicemails from your studio line or other phone line, and photos, which can be sent through your station's mobile app, which is a great tool for contesting and sharing from your listeners. Another exciting feature from the Commotion Wall is the ability for your station to generate additional revenue through the Commotion ad system. It's against both Facebook and Twitter's terms of service for you to push ads to those platforms. But since Commotion aggregates the Facebook and Twitter content and brings it back to your website, you can place ads there. And Commotion not only makes it easy through its push and scheduling mechanism, but also places those ads in the activity stream, where they're sure to be seen by your listeners. The Commotion Wall is a full suite of tools, including the wall itself, the activity stream, the mobile app, and more. Plus, it fully integrates with other products from Commotion, such as the SMS Campaign Manager and Crowd Control. For more information, check out Commotion.com or call a sales rep at 217-224-9600.
All right. Pretty interesting. This is this kind of looks like what I had envisioned something like this being, a way for people to interact. But I guess I'm still a little bit this seems like an app that would get used by your radio station's fanatics. Maybe would that, in the vernacular, is that called your P1s? Your people who are just absolutely, you know, in love with your radio station. They hang on what you do. They listen for, you know, new songs to break and when's the next promotion going to be. Seems like those people you've pretty got in your back pocket anyway. How could you enter? Is that who the app is intended for? Or can we get participation from more people than just your P1s?
It's a great question. For sure, your P1s are going to be using this. So they're going to use whatever you want them to use. You know, the station directs those guys. That's why, you know, you tell them to go to Facebook, they'll go to Facebook. You tell them to go to Twitter, they'll go to Twitter. But beyond that, what we've noticed with our current clients is that think of the activity stream, that activity stream as anything that the station finds important, that they want to communicate to their listeners. So for example, I could insert now playing information into the activity stream. I could insert, hashtags that I'm following on Twitter. Anything that people would find important to you know, your whatever your audience finds important, you can include it there. So, for example, even if I'm not a P1 listener, but I'm listening to the station, I'm like, I wonder what that song is. Maybe I just visit the station's website, or maybe I visit, you know, the mobile app on my mobile phone. It tells me what's happening right now. And that's really the key. I mean, there's lots of social aggregators out there that do something similar. Although ours is, you know, the Commotion platform does an amazing job at aggregating communication, its main purpose is to facilitate real-time interaction with your listeners. So we have polls built in, for example, where I could do, I'm on the air and I can say, what do you guys think? And it pushes out a poll. And in that activity stream, people respond no matter, I mean, it's going to push it out to the activity stream, but remember, it's pushing out to Facebook and Twitter. Wherever my listeners are at, we're pushing that out for people to respond. I don't know if you guys paid attention, but CBS Radio, they got a big article written up about this new app that they pushed out that allowed a 10-second audio clip to be recorded inside the app, and then that was emailed to the studio that they could play on the air. You know, this is something that we've done for quite some time, you know, because we look at it as just another communication endpoint that somebody may want to use or the station may want to use. The difference is where you're going to get a lot of audio clips, but what about all those that never made it on the air? You didn't have time for, but you still want to share with your listeners in real time. Well, you can push all those out. You know, you can make all of those public, push it out to your stream, whether that's on your website or mobile page or wherever. And so it really is about this content that you're building, if that makes sense, this live, real-time content.
Sure. Okay, I'm starting to see that vision there. I guess I got a couple of questions. If you are a content provider but not a radio station specifically, let's say that you are the Dave Ramsey Show, okay? That guy is a couple miles down the road from me here in Nashville. Over 500 affiliates. How would a national talk show put a technology like this to work?
Yeah, it's really the same thing. I mean, whether it's a talk radio, sports talk, music, or in fact, we're talking to an NBA team right now that wants to use this technology pre-game, during the game, and post-game because they want this real communication happening during the game and share photos and all kinds of various things with fans, you know, worldwide. It makes no difference. You know, this activity stream, it's everything that's going into it is what's happening live and it's interesting to whatever the station happens to be. So with Dave Ramsey, for example, one of the things is he can bring guests on the show, and that's really important, obviously, for that on-air experience. But what about all the comments that are coming in, let's say on an app or a text message or even on Facebook? You know, here's a way where they can share other comments that didn't make the show, but still are really important or relevant. And more importantly, if I'm a listener, the ability to communicate and interact with another listener, even though I'm on an iPhone, for example, and maybe they're on the website, the station's website, that's something that we found really exciting because there's a lot of stations out there that don't have always a live presence in the studio. But what we found is it makes a difference as far as where the conversation goes, but you can still have listeners to listeners talking, communicating, chatting in real time about what's happening on the air right this very moment. And for radio that has a lot of voice tracking, you know, that's really important because the whole point is to engage your listeners no matter what station it is.
Okay. Does a station's RDS capability, an FM station that can send that RDS, is there any place for some data to go out there to get some, invite people into the Commotion app?
Yeah, sure. We look at, RDS information, RSS information. I mean, really, the way that we've built this is we built this with an open API. So, for example, let's say a radio station has an existing app. And they want to be able to take this activity stream and put it into their existing app. But they also want to include information like stuff that would be seen on an RSS feed, an RDS feed, or whatever it is that can be fed into that activity stream. And what we found is that stations have different needs. You know, some people want, for example, we're talking to a station in Washington, D.C., and they have different topics that they talk about on the air. And they want to be able to basically create a feed, an activity stream, for each one of those topics. And so if I'm on Facebook, I can make a comment. If I'm on Twitter, I can make a comment. But it feeds this live activity stream. And we talked a little bit about mobile, but the key to radio is that we're finding is that more and more people are accessing these streams via the mobile device. And the real question that radio needs to ask themselves is, you know, there's a lot of third-party apps out there. TuneIn's a great example. Great app.
Yeah.
It gives a great experience for the radio station, or I should say for the listeners of the radio station. They can tune in. They can, you know, it's a big chance to go to different stations. But the real question is TuneIn owns those listeners, at least on a digital side. They can send a message out to those listeners. They can monetize those listeners. The station has no control over that. And so if radio cares about their listeners, and maybe some of them do and some of them don't, but if they really care about their listeners, they have to give a compelling reason that those listeners are going to download their app. Because if they don't, there are so many other people that will. And, you know, for most stations, they care that they own those listeners and care about owning that experience.
So, okay, what I understand that your platform is best used when the station has an app, right? Is that the whole idea, to get somebody to use an app? I'm not sure that I want to do that. Let's say I like to listen here in Nashville to the Super Talk station I mentioned earlier, that Phil Valentine is on. But I don't know. I'm not the kind of guy that wants to use the station's app. I want to listen on my FM radio, or maybe on my phone, maybe on the TuneIn app. But if I want to interact, I'd prefer to interact maybe with Twitter, or just go to their Facebook page if I'm sitting here in the office. That still has a good effect for this, a benefit for the station, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, like I mentioned before, under no circumstances will we push people away from Facebook and Twitter. I mean, it would be crazy to even, you know, even consider that. Facebook and Twitter are that huge megaphone to tell people what's happening. And newspaper and television, they really understand this. They get this concept.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you completely on that. I have noticed more and more, when I open my Facebook, the local Fox affiliate, the one that I occasionally do some weather on, is there, and they give you those teaser headlines, and then, you know, watch tonight at 9 or watch tonight at 10, or they'll lead you to their website where there's recorded video of the package, the story that they're talking about. But they never give you the whole story. They just give you that tease. And you're right. They figured this out. They're good at it.
I think of it this way. I recently read an article, I think it was in the New York Times, but it said, this person said, hey, Facebook, where's my stake in this this public offering that you have? Because the truth is, hey, they said, Facebook, you built the foundation, but it was your users that put up the walls, that put on the roof, and furnished it with their content. That's why you're so valuable, right? And so the same concept we feel applies to pretty much anyone that's using Facebook and Twitter. And the concept is Facebook has kind of let you into their house, and they're letting you do right now anything that you want. Other than one thing, you cannot promote an advertiser. You can only share content, because they're going to want to advertise that and monetize that, right? But even though you're at someone else's party or someone else's house like Facebook, is there value in also telling people, hey, by the way, in addition, check out what's happening right now at our house. There's a party going at our house too. Come check it out. Come experience it. Because once I can get my listeners to also, in addition to, you know, check out what's happening in real time, and that's the big key, is the real time factor. All of a sudden now I have those listeners connected. I've got connected listeners. And once I have connected listeners, you know, whether that's my webpage or my mobile app or my mobile page, then I can do some pretty cool stuff. So, for example, we have the technology right now with Commotion. Let's say that I wanted to push a message. Let's say I'm having a concert, and I want to push a message out to my connected listeners, people that are, you know, streaming or connected to my app or my mobile page or my website. And I want to only send that message when they reach a geographical area. Well, if I don't have those listeners connected, like I don't have those listeners connected on Facebook, for example, I can't get into any of this geolocation-based ads or information, or even the ability to geolocation-based stream, maybe a stream of music based on their current location and different things like that. So in our opinion, radio has to own their listeners. They have to own that experience. They have to keep them as captivated online as they do on air if they want to have the same experience. And some stations may disagree with that concept and be okay with not owning those. Most, however, that we talk to really do care.
Well, I agree that stations would like to to own their listeners. But I would also say that in this day and age, most people don't want to be owned. They have, it's just like selling. You know, you want to introduce something to somebody or explain a concept, but nobody likes to be sold. People do like to buy, right? So when it's true, people love to buy. They don't like to be sold at all. So how do you? I mean, you've used some kind of inside baseball terminology. Your stations want to own their listeners. Well, we do. But the listeners, you know, we would never want a listener to think of themselves as being owned. They have a free choice to listen to us, and we want to provide compelling content, both on air and in other media, other ways of getting that content to folks, to where that they want to stay with us, that we're the place that they tend to go to over and over and over again. You know, I was just thinking, Ryan, and maybe Tom will have a comment about this. I'm not a big sports radio listener at all. I'm pretty much confused by most sports talk radio. But I sure know people who are rabid fans. They're just engaged listeners, and they got to hear... they got to hear what's going on. They got to hear what different people think about what's going on. Here in the Nashville, Tennessee market, there's a fellow by the name of George Plaster that he's been in the market for a long time, and a lot of folks really regard well and respect what George has to say. I'm sure there are others too. George just comes to mind. He's been on TV and radio a lot in this market, and I know it's the same in markets all across the U.S. and even around the world. It seems to me that a platform like this, where you have truly an engaged listeners, some of them just downright rabid, would be a great extra way for them, those listeners, to interact with the folks talking and with other folks who are listening. A lot of opinions out there in the sports the sports talk radio scenario.
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody wants to – everyone has an opinion, right? And everyone likes to share their opinion no matter who they are. Some of them don't feel comfortable sharing it by calling up the radio station or being on the air, whatever the case is. And so, you know, getting back to your previous comment too, when we talk about owning the listeners, you have – the only way that a listener, like you said, they don't want to be sold, they want to buy, is you have to provide compelling experience – for those listeners to stay with you, to continue to listen, to be connected. And that's what we're saying with the activity stream is, you know, whether it's, you know, the commotion activity stream or some other form of this type of experience, the ability to create an experience where if it doesn't matter if I'm on an iPhone, I can talk to a listener on an Android and have a conversation, or I can share a picture with an Android listener, or somebody's on my website and they can have the same experience. Or quite frankly, keep in mind that this activity stream, it can be placed anywhere, you know, so they could place it, you know, technically you could probably even place it on Facebook, you know, even though I think you still want to own that experience. But the idea here is that this single experience where I'm having conversations across multiple mediums, social networks, doesn't matter. It's all happening right now, real time, and everyone's seeing the same conversation taking place with the radio station. And then we get into all kinds of things like voting on music and being able to literally have, you know, the music that's playing on the air change based on those votes. You know, once you have that compelling experience, you can do a ton of things with it.
Yeah, I wonder if... it seems like there's various content that a station maybe doesn't have time to put on the air, doesn't have time to put on over and over again, because for some people it's important, for others it's a tune out. Hawaii Dave in our chat room here at irc.twit.tv, Hawaii Dave mentioned that airtime is a precious commodity, and stations don't have enough airtime to put all the content out there that perhaps people want to consume. And for me, I think of radio traffic reports as being one of those things. Have you noticed how brief most radio traffic reports really are, and how let's just say really shy on detailed information that they really are? Do they ever really help anybody? Maybe they do. But I think one of the cool things about radio traffic reports on the radio for folks who are driving into work in the morning is that they may have a very slim chance of informing you of what you need to know, but they make you feel like you are informed about what you need to know. And I would also say that even though a lot of people, including myself, don't like the way that some news talk stations have gone, where it's just headline, headline, headline. When I lived in Kentucky, I listened a lot to WLW out of Cincinnati. Love that station. Love the talent that were on it. And but what disturbed me is that 5 minutes before the top of the hour, they would promo the newscast coming up. And basically they'd read two or three headlines. And they'd say, you know, details coming up, top of the hour on 700 WLW. Well, top of the hour came along. And what they did was they read the same headline they read in the tease. And they read one more sentence and then went on to the next story. And the idea there, I guess, was to make you feel like you're informed while getting, you know, bam, 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 bam stories in. And, of course, leave plenty of room for commercials. I get that. It's commercial radio. But, again, airtime is a precious commodity and stations don't have a lot of it to fill up. To go into detail. Well, in a separate media stream, social media, or something that's focused on a station like Commotion, it seems there that the station would have an opportunity to put that information out there, the more detailed stuff that folks might want to know about. Am I on track with that notion? Is that a possibility for Commotion?
Yeah, I mean, think of it this way. Let me give you a concept. I mean, similar to what you just mentioned. Here I am, a listener, and I'm interested in what's happening. Maybe there's a traffic report. Maybe it's breaking news, but I'm interested in local stuff. Well, let's just say for this purpose, let's say it's a traffic report, right? So I open up the station's app. I know we know exactly where this listener is. You know, we know the geographical location of this listener. What if I could push information in real time to that listener based upon their current location, right? So the concept of being able to push information based on a listener's location or this real-time information that can be pushed to them only works if you have that listener tuning into your app or your mobile page or your website or whatever. And that's kind of the point, is if they're tuning in to, say, TuneIn, or they're tuning into some other third-party app, I'm not saying that those are bad experiences. They're not. They're actually very compelling. But if you don't own your listener, you haven't given them a compelling reason to access your station through what you provide to them, then you could never have that experience. You can't do any of that stuff with your listeners and all of that in the future. And, you know, listeners, once they get into the habit, I mean, if they feel like that they found an app that is their portable radio, it's tough to get them to go over and access it any other way. And that's really what we're trying to focus in on, is this: give them an incredibly compelling and fun and interactive experience so that they can you give them a reason to actually access the radio through whatever you're providing.
That's an interesting concept. Pushing data right to your to an individual listener, depending on their location and such, and getting into the, you know, using the traffic report again here in New York City. It's a big area. And all you need are half a dozen accidents and you've got a whole bunch of roads closed. I mean, it would be really great to be sitting there in traffic, rolling my eyes, grab the app, punch up WR's app and go, anybody on the West Side Highway right now? Bang, and have somebody tell me where traffic is flowing. It's quite cool. It's quite a cool
idea.
And
then, Tom, on top of that, let's say that you see some information. Let's say there's an accident. And what if we could... What if within the app you could see the listeners that are also connected that are right around your area? So you could go to them and say, hey, do you guys notice anything? Are you seeing anything as well? And they could be within, again, the app, being able to chat back and forth between you, even though maybe they're on an Android, you're on an iPhone or something like that. This is the kind of bigger vision that we see radio heading into. You know, it's not just providing music or sports or information, which is important, but making it an incredibly personal experience. And that is possible today, and that can happen through some of the tools that we've gone and created. And unfortunately, radio hasn't thought this far in the future. And so right now, I think they're allowing other companies or other technologies to kind of own that experience. And again, it's not saying that Facebook and Twitter and all these social networks aren't important, but you cannot have that level of depth and personal interaction if you're just pushing all your listeners to Facebook, for example. You should be using that as a megaphone to say, hey, by the way, come check out also what we have over here.
And you're correct. And the thing, you know, going back to Kirk's example before of the sports fanatics, you know, I'm once again, I'm not the biggest sports fan either, but I am a fairly big football fan. You know, where I find something like this to be really handy, and you're right, you can't get all the information out there to the listeners that you have available. Several years ago, Vinny Testaverde was the quarterback for the New York Jets. My son and I went to the preseason Giants-Jets game, and he played a couple of quarters. Next thing you know, he's out, and everybody around us in the stands is scratching their heads. Wouldn't it have been nice to have that app on my handheld and take a look at it and have it come up with information from the station that Testaverde had blown out his Achilles tendon and he was out for the season? Nobody knew what happened in the stands. You know, this is a great vehicle. It really is. Great ideas.
Yeah, it's sometimes a difficult to explain the bigger vision of this activity stream or commotion and why it's important, especially with, you know, all these social networks that are coming out and they're popping up. And, you know, because social network like Facebook is so important. And again, we really push the importance of it. But if radio can do it right, if they can grasp the opportunity, I look at Facebook and Twitter as an opportunity to, as this huge megaphone to push people back to this, this live personal one-on-one, but also many experience that currently you can have, by bringing it all together into a single real-time application or mobile page or whatever it is.
And not only that, but it also would allow you to, you know, sometimes the activity on the app, and you know, we see it sometimes here with the show on the IRC page. Sometimes the show over there is better than what we're doing, and we feed off that. And if the guy in the studio can start feeding off of that information, I mean, real blunt, you have a better show on your hands, and you have a better presentation. And even if you have a listener who doesn't have the app, they're probably going to be more apt to go, you know, this guy's really interesting with what he's doing, and hang around for a while.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the listener experience, but I don't want to. I think equally as important is what happens in the studio. One of the things that we provide stations is this control panel. I mean, think of it like mission control, where you're seeing everything that's coming in. And we have a great example. Let's take a Twitter hashtag. So let's say that a station, say it's a talk station, news talk, you're following breaking news in a particular area. Well, you know, you may be following several hashtags that have to deal with breaking news. All of that content may be coming into this central control panel along with all the other content from the listeners and photos and audio clips. But you're not making all of that public. You're not pushing that out to the listener experience. But all of a sudden, let's say something does break, and you're trying to sort through what's important, and you're going to go and make public or push public the things that you think listeners are going to really care about at that moment, you know, trying to sort through it. You're almost sorting through the important information. Again, there's a reason to download or tune into the website or go to the app, the station's app, because they know this is the place that they're going to give the most updated real-time information possible for what's currently going on. And it's being sorted through, and the station is the kind of the control center to figure out what is important and what's not. Same thing with photos on like a breaking news situation. I've got listener journalism where I've got my app. It takes photos. It pushes it back to the control panel, the commotion control panel. And the station can determine and say, you know what, let's push these out to all of our listeners wherever they're currently at, because this may really help them in this particular situation. So you can monitor that and you can determine what's important. So there is a lot that's happening at the studio side and the studio level as well.
Ryan, we're going to take a quick break here, and I want to remind our viewers and listeners that this is This Week in Radio Tech. I'm Kirk Harnack, your host for the show, along with Tom Ray in the Hudson Valley of New York, the VP of Engineering for Buckley Broadcasting and the engineer at WOR Radio. We're talking with Ryan Gurgoyne, who is with Commotion on the web at commotion.com. This is a way of connecting listeners in a social media setting with your radio station very intimately and giving them more content interaction than they would have had without it. And to me, it looks pretty compelling. We're going to ask some more questions about that coming right up. But right now, I want to tell you about our sponsor for this show. It's the folks at Telos. It's telos-system.com on the web. And I want to tell you about a phone system that we've really been working it hard with out in the field, putting into more and more radio stations, both small stations and some pretty large facilities. And this is the Telos VX. This is the first on-air phone system for broadcasters that is entirely based on voice over IP or SIP trunking. We have a quick look here at the website. There you see the basic setup for a Telos VX system. There's a VX engine, and all that's on the back of a VX engine, aside from dual redundant power supplies, are two Ethernet ports. One of those is meant for the WAN side, that is the SIP trunks, and the other is LiveWire. It's meant to connect to all the devices in your radio station, your audio consoles, audio nodes, if you don't have Axia consoles, and to the VX phones. I've got one. Hey, I think we showed this a couple weeks ago. Of course, the cord's too short. Okay, we'll look at it from the website. Sorry. How embarrassing. The cord's too short here on my desk. I can't show it to you. I've got a Telos VX system here in my office, and it only took it was under half an hour to set it up. Now, granted, it was a pretty simple setup, but I got a couple of SIP trunks off of the Telos SIP PBX in Cleveland, Ohio, brought them to my office here in Nashville over the public internet. And I had Joe Talbot, who's been a guest on this show before, to configure my SIP appearances up in Cleveland, the availability of them with the passwords and everything. And then I programmed them here on my Telos VX system. And I've got just arbitrarily 7 lines coming in here. I could take 7 phone calls right here at my desk. Okay, I don't have them wired up to a console yet, but it's just amazingly how simple this was. No physical phone lines, no RJ11 jacks and dial tone and battery and all that kind of stuff. No T1 circuits. And in fact, in my situation, I don't even have a gateway device that would translate PRI or T1 or POTS into SIP. I'm getting SIP right off of Telos in Cleveland, Ohio over the public internet. Does it work? It works great. I've been talking on this thing. I can dial into the anywhere in the world and onto the Telos conference bridges. So I can conducting business on this Telos VX system. Well, it's also meant for broadcast. So we'll put these callers on the air through Omnia audio processing. They really will sound fantastic. Big broadcasters in a number of major markets are using the Telos VX system and some smaller markets as well. I want to show you one more thing on that website. Burke, if you'll scroll down, we're just now introducing a couple new telephones that work with the Telos VX, and they also work with the IQ6 phone system. These new phones are the VSET 6 and the VSET 1. These are a 6-line and a 1-line phones for desks, or if you have a control room, you don't need 12 lines. You can use 6 lines, they cost less, so they may be more appropriate for your particular situation. So Telos introducing new products. These will be shown at the NAB show and coming up in April and be available for shipping very soon thereafter. So if you're interested, check it out on the web at telos-systems.com/VX. There are white papers available. There's a really fun 10-minute video on the website that was shot in Riga, Latvia, with some local talent there. Steve Church is there on the video explaining some of this. Maris Francis, who's also one of our development leaders in Riga, is there. And a couple of nice-looking ladies are on the video, too. So I know you'll enjoy watching it about the Telos VX. So I want to thank Telos Systems for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. Check them on the web at telos-systems.com. And about the VX, just add a /VX there. All right, back to This Week in Radio Tech. We're talking with Ryan Burgoyne, and Tom Ray is with us too. We're talking about this idea of connecting listeners in a social media environment that the radio station gets to have some control over. It gives listeners a chance to talk about what they're hearing. It gives the radio station a chance to push additional information out to those listeners, rewarding them and so forth in the social media environment. I think it's a pretty cool concept, if it's executed well. So, Tom, why don't you were part of the company that developed this and then sold this idea over to Broadcast Electronics that's turned it into Commotion. What were maybe a couple of the interesting challenges that you discovered along the way and you thought, man, we got to solve this problem, or it'd be really cool if we could add this, and you did. Tell me about the development of this from your concept to where it is now.
Yeah, it's a great question. Really, where we started was we started a lot like Hip Cricket, you know, and thinking, okay, stations need the ability to text to their listeners. And we did that for a little while. We built some pretty cool tools that allowed that to happen. And then we really stood back and we said, now, wait a minute. This is not how radio is. Radio is not about a one-to-one private conversation that is happening between just the studio and the radio. You know, radio is about broadcasting. It's about getting it out. It's about sharing this experience with many, many people. And so what we determined was we figured, okay, we need to incorporate a way that we can bring in other tools. So we brought in, the first thing we did is we brought in Facebook and we brought in Twitter and started to share that. And then we turned it around and we said, we need to make this available that the listeners can see and have experience with each other. So listener to listener, not just listener to the studio or to the DJ. Okay. And that kind of led to so many other things. I mean, we started bringing in everything from voice to hashtags to now playing information, bringing in, you know, pretty much any endpoint or any piece of information we have available today that we could literally bring it in and make it available to both the listener and the station.
I realize, I guess, you know, this is not a commercial for Commotion. I'm interested in the technology and just the notion of connecting people with your radio station. Just, it seems a natural thing to do. And I guess I asked the last question about, I was kind of worried about the execution of this. If this wasn't done well, someone's first experience with it could be a flop. And I, for my own self, if I try some app and it's hard to figure out, or it's a pain, or it's buggy in some way, you know, it's not real likely I'm going to come back to that app. A friend of ours, Greg Oganowski, has been on the show a couple times. He's got this app called Streams Plus for iPhone and for iPad. And it's a slick app. I like it. It looks and feels really nice. It has the whole, you know, iDevice feel about it. And it sounds really good. But there have been plenty of other, you know, tuner-type apps for radio stations that just haven't felt good. And there's been station apps or station pop-ups or flash pages or boxes that can pop up on your computer that also just feel kind of cheap and cheesy. What are you guys doing to make sure that a listener's first experience with your app feels good?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, first of all, we do provide an app for stations that don't have one. I mean, really, for us, it's about that activity stream, that experience. But it's funny because you do have to be committed to wanting to reach out, wanting to interact, wanting to have this experience with your listeners. I mean, let's face it. You're going to get out as much as you're going to put in. And for some stations and some owners in radio, they really understand that they're not just competing with the station down the street anymore. They're now competing across everything from Spotify to Pandora. They're competing against other experiences that are really compete. You know, they're competing to get for people's time, their listeners' time, attention, and so you do have to have something compelling, and you have to be equally willing to communicate back. And you know, we had a few stations that, quite honestly, weren't committed to this level of interaction, and we had to tell them that they're probably wasting their money, and until they're ready, they probably shouldn't be doing this, because they've basically said, "Hey, knock on our door, talk to us, have this experience," and then they weren't doing anything, you know, back to that listener. And it's funny, we watched these listener communication, and it would start off by saying, "Hey, this is so cool," and then they'd be like, "Hey, are you guys there?" And then they'd be like, "Oh, I hate this," you know. So they went from something that they're like, "This is great," to "I hate this." It was hurting them because they weren't willing to you know, reply back. But that applies to Facebook and Twitter as well, right? If you don't feed the conversation, people just leave it because they don't think you're interested.
So that leads me to a question I was going to ask earlier. How can a platform like this work for a state? Let's say you've got a lot of stations in this country that have, even in bigger markets, where you've got a live and local morning show, And then everybody's out the door or they're voice tracking for other stations for the rest of the day. And there's nobody in that studio. Just a couple weeks ago, we were in Tampa, Florida, did a live show there at the Cox Media Group. And I mean, this is an active radio, an active facility with a number of radio stations in it. And yet we went into one studio after another that had nobody in there because they had local live morning shows, maybe an afternoon show, but then evenings were voice tracked. I'm part owner of some radio stations. We do local live morning shows on a number of them, but you know, we're voice tracked the rest of the day. How can we, is there some automatic interaction we can have? How can we feed the beast, you know, the social media beast, and give folks an impression that we're here and we care when in fact, right. You know, we're out selling ads.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, that's the whole point of voice tracking, is to have the appearance that we're here when we're not. You don't want the listeners to know that we don't care enough about you to talk to you or have this experience. It's why voice tracking has become so successful. So that's really why we built it the way we did, where we have an activity stream. So even when someone's not in studio, first of all, I've got listeners that are going to communicate and interact with other listeners, right? And I'm not just relying on one platform like Facebook. I have Twitter out there. I've got, of course, my app communication that's happening and my mobile and my website. So, you know, I've got a lot of different areas these listeners are communicating. But for example, I may want to bring in breaking news. I may want to follow certain hashtags in Twitter. I mean, the point is that when I open up an app, that my experience should be something's happening right now. You know, when I open up an app, there's the Now Playing song. It just played. I get to explore that. You know, oh, look, there's something that, you know, let's say it's an artist and somebody just tweeted something about a particular artist that the station, you know, really cares about. Maybe it's a country artist or something like that. Or maybe it's breaking news. The point is that if they open up your app and they feel like this is live, it's not dead. It's not static. They're, you know, it's. That's really the key. And so many apps out there, we've seen it. And again, we're not an app provider. We just want to provide this experience inside of an app, because there's so many apps out there that when you open it up, you get the impression that this is dead. You can listen to the station, but beyond that, what else is there to compel or to interact or even to feel like something is live, like versus on air? You know, on air, we feel like something's happening right now. And so many apps out there for radio stations don't do that. And that's why we feel so strongly about this activity stream.
I want to address something that's in the chat room right now. Several different folks in the chat room have complained that voice tracking is just awful. Yeah, I hear voice tracking, I move to a different station. You know what? I agree with you completely. But I also want to point out that 90% of radio stations, maybe more than that, do voice tracking really wrong, really wrongly. And I don't know if it's the talent doesn't quite get it, or the program directors don't quite get it, or the management doesn't give the enough time and creative energy and license to the talent. But I also know it's possible to do voice tracking in a way that actually sounds like somebody's there and that they care about you and that they have topical things on the air. I know that because several of my little stations in Mississippi and in American Samoa, they sound really good even when they're voice tracked. And I'm not the expert at this. Actually, my business partner, Larry Fuss, who's also been on this podcast, quite some time ago, a couple times, he is the master at getting voice tracking to sound tight and execute well and helping the talent to speak as if they're live. And then also setting up automatic systems so that we do break in if there is a tornado warning. And we do break in if there is a thunderstorm warning. And we do have updated weather twice an hour. It's fresh and updated. It's the latest thing from the National Weather Service twice an hour. My point is, it's possible to do all that, and so many radio stations don't. And I think that they are hurting not only themselves, but they're hurting the reputation of radio across the board. It's almost no different than when you have, let's say you have a small market where stations are trying to charge $5, $6, $7, $10 an ad. And you got some stations selling a dollar a holler like they have since 1962. And that doesn't help the industry one single little bit. It lowers the value of radio advertising because you got somebody selling dollar holler advertising. And if you're doing that, shame on you. And if you're also doing voice tracking where you sound like, well, happy Tuesday, that was Madonna, we have Lenny Kravitz coming up. You know, please go home. Don't do it. Just don't even bother to open the mic. just play the Madonna and play the Lenny Kravitz. And so by being, you know, passionate about this, and I really am, because I've heard it done right and heard it done wrong. I'm also passionate about making sure that when you have a social media experience, that it's not a MySpace experience, you know, that it's a, it's something that's compelling and interesting. Ryan, I haven't tried your product yet. I haven't tried your platform, but I sure would like to. So that leads me to my next question. Are there some clients of yours, some radio stations who are using this platform that would be a good example? Can I go to their website? Can I see what this interactivity is like? Can I download their app onto my iPhone or Android device?
Oh yeah. Probably the one that would display, probably display the best is if you go to kfwr.com. That's the ranch. They're out of Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. And they've really done it right. I mean, we work with all of our customers to help them do it right. But these guys have pushed it like crazy. If you go out to their website right now, you basically see live what's happening live. You know, all the various communication endpoints that are coming in, and that's on a widget that we provide for them. So you can download their app. They've got an iPhone app out there. We've just recently rolled out a brand new version last week. They'll be one of the first that get it. And it's kind of changes the game a little bit more. That's basically where, oh yeah, you can see it there. So you can see that they have that little widget that allows their listeners to see in real time what's happening. And, you know, you'll find that they're more active and less active at different times of the day, like most radio stations, right?
Yeah,
but
sure,
when it starts
sure.
to go, it really starts to go. And you can see right there, you know, a message just popped up from Facebook. But you can see below that, there's a couple of it looks like iPhone icons. There's a mic icon from the DJ itself. And again, this is just one area that they're viewing the activity stream. The things that we've changed, that we've added to the activity stream are, you can see avatars. So people can authenticate through Facebook. They can see who they are. You can see kind of in the studio, you can see a history of everything that's happened, what they said last. It gets pretty fun because I can even see their location. I was on there last night playing around with it, and I don't even know who it was. Some person happened to join it from Australia and had a little conversation. And this was just our little demo tool that we had. And somehow they downloaded it on the Apple Store somehow and found it. But yeah, I'd say KFWR, go check it out. You can search for The Ranch in the App Store in Android or the iPhone. And you can visit their website and take a look.
Ah, okay. All right. The Ranch is the app name. So, okay. And even though The Ranch, the Sound of Texas, is probably not local to, you know, 98% of those of you listening or watching to this podcast, you can still check it out that way and see if this kind of interactivity could be meaningful to people who are listening to the radio. The more I look at this, Ryan, the more I think this is what I personally was hoping for and thinking about a couple of years ago. So I'm just delighted that you took a similar idea and ran with it and actually produced something with it. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to be out of time here shortly. Tom Ray, you kind of ring in here. What are your comments about this, and where do you see stations putting this to use?
I see a lot of ways this could be used on talk radio in general. It's a great way to bring up side topics or to take it, maybe take a topic, maybe take something you've commented on and see how other people are, see what they're saying about your comment rather than take those calls on the air, you know, so you can switch topics and keep it fresh for the people on the air. Sports broadcasting, I brought up one subject about more information, maybe if you're sitting there in the stands, and obviously you can't listen to the radio because of the crowd, but I mean, you can look at this app and maybe get some information about what's happened in the game or what people think is going on. Music stations requests, rate the songs. And anytime you can get the listeners and other people to interact, it is always a good thing, at least in my book. Because it puts on a better show. It puts on a better show, and it makes things much more interesting for the listener, especially when they can engage.
Well, it's a lot like the IRC chat that Leo has always had, or has had for almost the entire time that the twit.tv network has been going. And those of us who watch, listen to, consume the things that are on twit.tv, okay, we're all geeks, right? We get IRC chat, and we're willing to, you know, to put up with some of the things that probably wouldn't interest in terms of, you know, what you see flying by in the chat wouldn't interest you know, consumers at large. So I think you need a very consumer friendly chat room, and it appears that that's what this is. It's extremely consumer friendly and aggregated across a number of platforms. So no matter what your favorite platform is, even if it's calling in the radio station and saying hi, you're part of an activity feed like this. I think this is really smart, and I hope it really takes off. Ryan is I think I know the answer. This is a technology, a platform that is exclusive to you guys. Would you see this in for the good of the radio industry being somehow shared in the future, or is this very much proprietary? If you want to be part of this, it's definitely going to come from Commotion.com.
Well, I mean, obviously, we love everyone to be on the Commotion platform. Truth is, we know that we'll have people that will duplicate it, right? There hasn't been anyone out there yet that duplicates this. When you start getting into bringing this communication in real time so that it feel, you know, it's instant. And more importantly, that you can pull back a comment. You know, this is not just a one-way push. The station can literally pull back a comment from people's devices or mobile page or whatever. It gets pretty complicated. So our goal is to always be coming out with new versions, new tools, new things that even when somebody comes and tries to duplicate it, which I'm sure they will at some point here, you know, give it a year or so, we're going to be one step ahead. We'll give people a compelling reason to continue to go through Commotion.
Okay. All right. Well, and it crossed my mind that, you know, that first I thought, well, you know, the NAB should do something like this or some, of course, if it was, you know, I guess Clear Channel's got iHeartRadio and that has some interactivity with it there. The CBS stations have a platform and some other groups do too. To me, this is extraordinarily compelling. Again, I hope it does well. But I also hope that there is a way that broadcasters, I guess it doesn't necessarily make sense that it would be the same everywhere, although, you know, something like Facebook is popular because no matter what country you go to, except for language differences, you know, Facebook is not so different from one place to another. It's almost like McDonald's hamburgers, I suppose. You know, they're about the same in Germany as they are in Hong Kong as they are in Sheboygan. I'm glad to see it happen. Hope you guys do well. And I really want to check back with you in a few months or a year and see how it's going. Where, okay, obviously commotion.com is the website. You pointed out this 959theranch.com as a place to go. Any other ways that folks might want to check out this technology?
You know, we're going to be posting a webinar here to go over our new platform that we just released on our website in the next day or so. So, you know, I would just go there, check it out. The webinar will cover all of the new tools that we've just recently released, going into detail as well. And to your point, too, you know, we hope to see that this type of interaction, whether it's, you know, through Commotion or not, we really do hope that people grasp onto it because there is something to be said still about real time and radio. And, you know, even like I mentioned before, you know, we're talking to an NBA team that even understands this concept of the ability, this real time ability to have interaction across the various things. So it should be fun. It'll be exciting. We'll keep you updated on the latest and greatest. Appreciate you allowing us on the call.
Staying far away from a sales pitch, but answer me a question. I'm the owner of some really small radio stations. I mean, we're this much above a dollar a holler, right? Is this something that, affordable for a small station, or is this really, you know, the station needs to be billing several million dollars a year in order to think about a platform like this?
Now, we have it priced for really small stations all the way to large markets. I mean, my father's stations are in a small market, so we definitely have that covered. And there's even an opportunity for maybe some possible barter options as well for those stations that you know, wouldn't mind doing a little barter also. So we've kind of got it covered in that area.
Man, there's something that you hear in radio all the time. It's barter. That's station used to pay for their jingle packages that way and their production libraries with barter.
Yeah. Man. It doesn't work for every market, but, you know, for the ones it does, it works.
I hear you. All right. Hey, Tom Ray, you got any last-minute questions? We're about to close it up here.
No, it was very interesting and very interesting topic, and to see, you know, some of the places we're heading. Looks like a great product. It really does.
I like the platform, and I'm going to be playing with it some. So, Ryan, thank you for short notice being on our show and informing us about this. Caught my attention because, you know, how many times can I say, I thought of this 2 years ago. You probably thought of it earlier than that, but I thought, wouldn't this be great? I sure am glad you've brought it to market. Ryan, if folks want to be in touch with you, where would they go?
Probably, you know, of course, they can probably just go to the website, but if they want to reach out, my Twitter handle is just first name, last name, Ryan Burgoyne, and you can, you know, hit me up on Twitter as well. So,
all right. Sounds very good. Thanks a lot, and thanks very much to our sponsor, Telos Systems, my employer. Thanks for sponsoring this show, maker of the Telos VX phone system. The phone system that connects directly to SIP trunks. So you can put VoIP right on the air. There's a lot of advantages to that. You'll hear about more of that in the weeks and months to come as more stations get the Telos VX system on the air. So thanks, Telos, very much for sponsoring this show. Also, thanks to Burke back at the TWIT Network for producing the show. Appreciate that very much for your help. And we have in some upcoming shows, more guests are on the way, and we'll be broadcasting live from the NAB show in April. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that and check us out when we're live at the NAB show. A number of newsmakers from NAB are going to be on the panel, on the show with us. You might remember last year we had Leif Claesson on. Woo, that was fun. We'll have more people, either Leif or folks as excited as Leif, on this year's show from the NAB. That's it for us. We'll see you next week. Oh, we got a giveaway to do, don't we? We have to give away an Omnia AXE. Almost forgot. I've got my list of folks right here. I've been working on it. And so what I need, Ryan, you're still on the line, right?
Yes.
Okay, Ryan, I need a random number between 1 and 19.
Let's go with 14.
14. All right, hang on. I got to scroll
what
through
are you,
here.
Karnak?
Yeah. hang on. Okay, number 14. I don't know how to pronounce this person's name. Let's see if I can get... All right, this person is an aspiring radio engineer. Oh, gosh. Somebody needs to break the news to him. All right. Aspiring radio engineer. It's, I don't know if it's Arn or Arnie Carl from Mississippi. Arnie Carl, you are the winner of an Omnia AXE. And I'll be in touch with you via the Twitter. And we'll get you your Omnia AXE. Omnia AXE is software. Runs on a PC, Windows or XP, Windows 7 or XP platform that does audio processing and encoding of your stream. And so you can then stream audio out with that way with Omnia AXE. It's about a $500 product at list price. So, Arnie, congratulations. We'll be in touch. We're going to see you next
unfortunately,
week.
I was going to say, unfortunately, he's kind of stuck with radio. He's got two first names. Perfect. It's perfect.
Two first names. That does it, doesn't it? We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye, everybody. Oh!